Canadians, not Canuts.
And one.
From Racine, Wisconsin, the city of love. It's that podcast that just won't go away. Guys, Games, and Beer!
Yeah!
You should
have
to get
a chance. Pop my beer. I almost
okay, everybody can pop their beer. We are. So we've the last couple episodes we've introduced a new segment where we are trying, well, Wisconsin brewed beers and giving our ratings on them. And tonight we have something. This is a viewer suggestion.
The Big O.
It's the Big O.
Oh my.
So.
Which is zippy
which
and
is
crispy
from
and tangy.
Oso Brewing Company here in Wisconsin. Yeah. It's labeled this way.
It's just called ale. I like that it's 12 full ounces
of ale.
Ale.
Yeah, not a pale ale, not a, you know, caramel. But on the box it does say zippy, crisp, tangy,
luminous.
Jubilant.
It
says luminous, jubilant, subtle, unique, and sunny.
I love how it says join the fight against boring beer.
All right, so
let's have drank it already.
Yeah, let's try and see if it's any good.
Okay, ready?
It's also a pretty good anime.
The Big O is actually a very good anime. Oh, that okay.
Actually, I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gentlemen?
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
It's got gluten.
Really? Mm. Thumbs up. All right.
That makes it better.
That's not the bar here.
Gluten makes things better.
Exceptional.
Yeah, gluten does make things
more
better.
Than good.
Sorry, celiacs.
If you are looking for another good Wisconsin beer and ale one, it's called The Big O by Oso Brewing Company.
Make sure you put
it. All right, and with the gang today, we got Matt.
Yo.
We got the noob.
Hey.
We got Kevin.
Hello.
Oh my god. Is that Ben?
I live.
What do you know? We got Travis.
Hey.
Tip my fedora.
You did tip your little fedora there.
It's not a fedora.
We've got Tom.
Yep.
And we got Drunken Larry.
Hello.
And from Cardboard Fortress Games. You like the way I did that?
You did.
That was close.
I almost lost it there for a second.
Yeah, you almost said cardboard box game.
I'm wearing I did. Because I was going to talk about the hat and I kind of skipped it.
Right.
From Cardboard Fortress Games, we have.
The hat. No. Oh, sorry.
And Nicole Klein. Are we just going to say?
Yes, you were.
Yes, you were.
Hey, that's good.
I'm sorry.
I screwed up that.
I didn't get my whole home address, though, so.
Oh, we already have that.
Rob wasn't sure what he wanted to talk about more. Introduce you or talk about the great hat that he won at B-Fig.
Yep, I have my hat on from B-Fig.
Yes!
I have it hanging in the studio so I can torment Larry with it.
I have, like, the best, like, Rob victorious pose wearing that hat. I want to blow up, like, poster size. See, seriously, he looks
Why
so
don't
common.
We just make a cardboard stand-up of Rob wearing that? Why don't we make wallpaper and then wallpaper Larry's house with it?
No!
Yes, I like that idea even better.
All right, so, Rob, what are we talking about on today's show?
We're talking about games.
Which particular game are we talking about?
We're talking about Resistor.
All right.
Which we've been on a card game kick for a while now. I think it started with, I think Travis brought in a game. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Oh, for Christ's sake.
What's about?
That was my fault. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a game. There
was this game. There's Uno. Uno. Travis brought in Uno. And we all started playing.
Well, I gotta say, I'm like the first guy to ever discover Uno.
You know?
Dude,
have you heard this game? It's called Uno.
Right?
It's Spanish for one.
Like
it's important.
You know, my dad's race car was sponsored
I play it regularly.
By Uno in the 80s.
What? Is that a true thing?
That is a true thing.
What?
My dad's race car was sponsored by Uno in the 80s.
That's awesome.
Did he have to paint his car with
Wasn't
it?
Wasn't that the pizza company, though? All right.
They weren't too generous. Stickers.
Oh man, did the car should have been painted like a wild card.
Wild card, bitches!
No, a draw four.
There you go.
That'd be cool if you could do it before the finish line. Wait a minute! Draw four,
Uno! Yes. I'm in Uno place!
I win. Yeah. Mm. This is special. So, let's talk.
Stay on
target. So I B-Fig.
Too close.
And we did this interview in Boston, and we met the staff from Cardboard Fortress at B-Fig, and we played their game they were presenting.
And I just want to talk about the fact that Larry got walloped.
That's really the only reason you guys are on the show.
Yeah, just so he can talk about how he walloped Larry.
Did I mention
that
walloped Larry?
Could you tell me how you walloped Larry?
I gotta tell you, Larry didn't even score a point.
Oh.
No, that's what.
Tell me more.
So, does it concern you about the game mechanics that it can, like, set up so that someone can get whopped so quickly?
You want to go into a bit of detail about what...
Let's talk about what the game is. Can we actually talk about the game? Okay. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how the game works?
I'll let her handle it. She's writing the instructions now, so now I'm going to put her on the spot.
I hate it. I'm writing these instructions. So it's a two-player competitive card game where your two supercomputers fighting each other. Basically, you want to launch your nukes, but you don't want the other computer to launch their nukes too, so you're trying to stop them so you can launch your nukes undefeated. All the cards are double-sided, and they have red and blue lines on them. So if you're the red player, deep red, you want to get a red line all the way across the board into the blue player's face, and if you're the blue player, BLU9000, then you want to get the blue line across. And each player has two cards in their hands, and you can use the front of your own cards and the back of your enemy's cards, and you manipulate the board to try to get your line all the way across. That's pretty much...
That's good. That's succinct.
That's succinct.
Yeah. In my case, one of us was a supercomputer, and the other one was a Commodore VIC-20.
And we did talk about the war game-esque...
Yeah, I, you know...
...feel to it, the 80s...
One player was playing a supercomputer, the other player was playing a victim unit?
Yes, basically. The victim 20.
Tandy's victim model.
It's true.
All right, so where did you come up with the idea for the game? What inspired this particular game? Was it the movie War Games?
No. We made the game at a game jam. We kind of hang out and associate with some video game designers here in Philly.
Associate with?
What's that you say?
It's like you're slumming it.
It's like you're meeting in a back room.
To be around them, you know.
It's like a modern speaking.
We had a game jam one night, and we decided to take a swing at it. So we made the game at that. You know, they're all programmers. We don't know how to program, so we had to make a card game out of paper and pencils.
Whatever's laying around. How did you come up with the mechanics of the game? Because one of the things that struck me was the way that it was pretty easy to remember how the turns work because you came up with the cards that demonstrate what part of the round you're in.
Mm. Well, what was the game jam? 48 hours?
So it was a 12-hour jam.
Oh, 12 hours.
You could only work on the game for 12 hours, but you had a week to make the game.
Yeah, so you weren't allowed to spend more than 12 hours time. So, we had to keep everything fairly simple. We couldn't get anything, you know, really complex or in-depth. And also, we had to kind of, you know, tailor it to people who are used to playing games with a fairly easy introduction. And, you know, it couldn't be too complex for them to learn at the moment either.
Let's explain my victory.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is video game players have short attention spans, and if they can't
wait,
do it in
what
10
are we talking
minutes,
about?
Then they
hey,
probably,
I wrote, what are we, just... wait, what happened?
Where yeah. am I?
You know what? That actually is pretty right, though. It's actually a card game that appeals to video game players pretty
yeah,
strongly.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
It's not referred to beats and boots on it.
Yeah, that's going on the box.
A card game for video game players. Excellent.
Rob Benson so, from Guys Games.
I'm just gonna say totally a video game.
I like the I want to say Indian component to it, where you're looking at the back of the year. So when you're playing the game,
where you give them what blankets?
No,
or,
no. Have you ever played that poker?
Yeah,
game?
Yeah.
Right,
well, come on, we used to.
I know
play
it's not politically correct to say that anymore, but that was the name of the game, right? So you know everybody else's card, but you don't know your own. And so when you're holding the cards, you don't know the back of your card,
right.
But which actually is a legitimate gameplay piece because they're double sided. Mm. So there's two lines on one side, two lines on the other side, or maybe even a resistor that you know could cause other things. It's kind of like a special card, but there's stuff on the back, stuff on the front, and you're only allowed to look at the stuff on the front to you. Your opponent is looking at the back stuff, and so when they lay a card down, They can flip it, and they know what that card is. So if you got a pretty good
memory, remember what the damn card was.
Yeah, after a long day and a few beers, it gets tougher.
Long day and a few beers, huh? Yeah, that was Larry's problem. He was hungover.
Yeah,
he was. Yeah,
we were.
How'd you guys like Beefing?
It was good. It was nice.
Just a little off topic there.
Okay, I gotta ask now. So, is this Cardboard Fortress's first game out on the market, or will be the first game out on the market?
Yeah, hopefully.
Are you guys?
If everything goes okay.
That is the hope. I
think last time we talked to you, we brought this up, but the recording quality was so bad at Beefing that we decided to redo it. But are you guys doing a Kickstart on it?
Yeah, we want to launch a Kickstarter hopefully in January. Right now we're just talking to printers and setting up our company officially and filling out paperwork and writing instructions and not playing video games.
Yeah, we're totally not going to play Borderlands for the next 24 hours.
I'm jealous of what you're not doing.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. We're going to be serious adults with many responsibilities.
What do you think is the hardest part of designing a game?
Oh God, the instructions.
Writing the instructions.
Yeah, to be very inclusive. Yeah,
it's a lot like. Yeah, I do. I do technical documentation as part of my job, and I hate doing that. So.
Oh God.
Do you want to work for us?
I don't want to work.
We did instructions for our game, and then we found out they were terrible recently, so we have to redo them entirely.
So we did the instructions, and we had our friend who worked, he used to work for AEG, and now he works for Yellow, however you pronounce it. He writes their instructions, and he went over our instructions and, like, rewrote them, and then we had other people look at them, and we were feeling pretty solid, and we sent them off to IndieCade and Boston Fig, and oh my God, when we got our feedback, it was brutal.
Yeah. How does the game work?
One of the guys at Boston Fig who read our instructions literally walked up to me and said, "Your instructions are bullshit."
Oh man.
That sounds like a very Boston thing to do.
I thought you would have cried. Now it's like, no, at this point I pretty much know. So we deconstructed them. I took every single section and rewrote it as a single sentence, which was really a challenge. And now I rebuilt the whole thing. We also have a guy from GameCraft for helping us. We took all the feedback that we got, and I try not to cry while I read it. This is why I have ice cream, guys, because I write a section, cry into some ice cream.
So part of making a game that isn't fun is all the stuff that you have to do besides making the game. You know what I mean? Like designing a game is super fun, and playing and trying to work out the puzzle that is making a fun game. That's all really fun, but then that's about 20% of it. I'd say
8%.
No, that's about 20% of the whole process, and then the other 80% is figuring out how to make it cheap to sell to people and make sure people understand how to play it.
Remembering to feed yourself and do the laundry.
Yeah, all the boring stuff that you don't want to do.
And your game, from when we talked to Beefig, has a particular challenge as far as keeping the price down related to the box. Maybe you can go into that.
Yeah, we have... So since our game involves... I don't really know how to state this. This is a problem with writing instructions. We have a lot of perspective problems, right? So if you're holding a card up, and that card's double-sided, and you're only allowed to see your side of the card, the side that's facing you, you have to make it so that you don't accidentally see the back side of the card. Which means that when you draw a card out of the deck, well, I should say your enemy can't see your side of the card either. So when you draw a card out of the deck, it has to be vertical, which means the deck has to be standing up. One of the things we came around to, and fitting in with the whole supercomputer, 80s kind of theme, we've made our box such that it kind of acts like a Super Nintendo cartridge almost. You know what I mean? The deck plugs into the main box.
What?
So it's standing up.
Yeah.
And this means it has a three-part... It's just a card game, but that means it has a three-part, cardboard box going on that's presented some problems. There's a hole in the box, which is... out of the norm for board games in general.
Yeah, when we talked to one of the manufacturers at Gen Con, they were like, well, this window in the front is kind of worrisome because what if, you you know, it gets messed up when you're shipping it and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't, that's a new thing that I don't want to think about.
let's not worry about shipping.
don't you worry about that.
Yeah. I'm going to hand deliver these, dude.
I love that box.
We're not succeeding.
I love that box. Plugging the cartridge in, you know.
Larry called it a cartridge again.
Yeah, it's what I do, and I accept it, so I'm moving on.
Yeah.
We're talking about Larry's cartridges?
Yes, Larry's cartridges.
Hey, anybody want a peggle? Apparently I say that wrong, too.
You know, this is one of
the peggle?
Is it? Yeah, peggle.
Like the video game where you
this is,
Where are you going to set a kegel?
This is one of those games that you really couldn't do on an iPad, really.
Hey, that's a whole other thing.
Unless you're set to multiplayer only. I guess you...
The thing about putting it on the iPad is that it loses a couple things. It loses the whole, like...
card game aspect?
Well, it loses the physical part of it, but it also loses
You can play where every iPad's one card, I guess.
Well, you could actually program it for the old Razer, and then one side could be on the front Razer.
Right.
Well, like, one of the good things about the game is that when you take a card out of someone else's hand, you're really messing with them. And when you do the draw and trash, like, if you draw a card and you decide to put, like, some people are like, oh, I don't want to put this card in their hand. I don't want to give this card to them. But if you put that card in your hand, they can use it just as easily as if it's
right. It doesn't actually make a difference, but it's a psychological
thing. Yeah, there's like a psychological aspect to actually holding the cards, because you're like, no, I'm not giving you this card. Oh, wait, you can just take this card out of my hand anyway.
Yeah, people seem to think that if they're holding the card, that those are their cards. And in our game, you can use cards from either player's hand, so really there's just one hand. But I think I'm going to stop saying that because...
Hand?
I'm going to stop saying that there's only one hand between you because people like to think about it as, like, this is mine and that's theirs.
But no.
Very possessive about it.
Especially Larry. But he usually keeps an extra deck up his sleeve, so...
Yeah.
Larry cheats.
Hey, Larry cheats. Larry's all he has to say about it.
That's what they accuse me of, just because they lose a lot.
Just because you tried to play an Uno card...
I like your scenario of buy two decks and like rig the deck so it has cards in your favor.
Yeah.
Buy two decks, then win free.
He would just keep one up his sleeve.
I like that scenario, and completely not for the reason that you bought two decks to play.
Yeah. Wouldn't be that.
You know, I don't know. I would think that would be really hard in this game to, like, know, like, okay, I need a blue line that attaches here. Because there's, like, attach points. There's three or four attach points. Four.
There's four, yeah.
Four possible attach points. So you have to have everything line up with the different attach points. And you'd be like, no. No.
What are you doing, Larry? Nothing?
Shut up!
I'm Spider-Man.
You know, it's like, you know, like if you ever play poker, you know, an ace up your sleeve is almost always useful, you know?
A sister up your sleeve would probably be useful.
Maybe.
I got me a double blue.
That's right.
What am I going to do with
this? No worries.
I'm red.
Damn! Just got to flip that.
Nice. Make sure to always change what color you play so they're unprepared for it. Right.
That's Fort Larry 101.
Larry, there's no yellow in this. What the heck is going on here?
I thought it was by accident.
Sorry,
it's Luke's lightsaber.
Right. So, what... So let's you know, I'm just imagining Larry cheating at this. And it's,
no, we're planning how Larry's going to cheat. Yeah. We're like crowdsourcing it.
We're really helping him, right. Is what we're doing.
I'm definitely planning on how you're going to buy extra, cheat.
I didn't even like see you guys post pictures where it's like a full resistor board and then right in the middle is like a poker card with ledge drawn on it.
Yep.
Wrong size, the wrong color, no heart.
I didn't know Bicycle had a hand
in
this deck.
I want a Kickstarter level, the cheat level. You get two decks.
What's the secret code for this card?
No, we call it the Larry level.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right after... Forget it. I'm not going to start on you. You're right after the angry video game, nerd video game. You're
right.
Yeah, you're
so distribution-wise, are you looking at putting this into game stores, or will you do it from the website, or both?
Well, we definitely want to get it on the game store shelves. I kind of feel like, you know, board games and card games, I don't know why I separate those, they're the same thing. Board games really live and die in the community at the game shops, and it's hard to avoid that. I mean, if you are Cards Against Humanity and you kind of have that steamroller effect happening, that's fine, but otherwise...
They're selling in stores now.
I know, now they're in stores.
But... Yeah, but you're right, for the longest time they weren't. They got lucky and, like you said, got to that critical mass point where the hype just spread throughout the community.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love that game, but it's definitely running... It was running a crest of hipster cred, I guess that's what I call it.
That's as good as that. Whereas, yeah. No, but you're right.
I'm not going to say you're wrong.
You know, they're going to have to be... You got to be in the stores. I feel like you got to be in the store, too.
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you on that. That really is where people get a chance to experience the game, play it for the first time. Like most card games, it's good to get your hands on it first, actually get a chance to try it out before you buy it. Right. And the game stores allow you to do that.
Try it before you buy it, and also I want people to be able to buy it, rip it open, and play it right then and there, possibly with a stranger who might then also want to buy it, you know?
There's a...
Right, or proposition, one of the two.
There's a thing that we do here locally, and I don't know that I see it in other places, but a lot of our pubs have board games in them.
Yeah.
That's starting to happen here, yeah. We also have board games, like, stores. We have board games more at coffee shops than bars.
This is Wisconsin.
Most of our coffee shops
serve booze.
I feel like they might have where they're just pubs.
Rochambeau, the Irish coffee.
Right.
seriously. Yeah, for real.
I actually think this would be a good pub game. Two people?
Yeah, actually, it would be a good pub game.
Because you could get the bartender to play.
We rate everything by how drinkable the game is.
If we can play on a hangover.
Every game is good. Excuse me.
Wow. Dude, there's totally an Uno deck, like, right up there.
And?
Rob has got such a bad case of ADD tonight. This is going to be the best show yet. Rob just keeps going, Bukar!
You know it's bad when I'm doing that. Yes. You know, it's not a good episode when I'm doing
that. You're supposed to be our leader.
Yes. You're supposed to keep us on track.
I started on the big O a little early.
I like that. That's good.
Yep.
So how'd you go... I asked you this at BFAG, but again, the sound didn't come out. So, how did you come up with Cardboard Fortress?
I don't know. Coming up with a company name is always a real bitch because you want it to be really personal, but then you just don't have anything on the tip of your brain right then and there.
Yeah, we didn't want to be like Anthony and Nicole Games because we were like, what if we break up? Then it would be like twice as hard.
Okay, that would be awkward.
Oh my god.
Child together in this fucking company.
Right.
I can just imagine you walking into a game store crying.
What? I get Cardboard Fortress on the weekends.
Just take the and out and replace it with like an X.
Right. Well, either that or like it just one of the names gets crossed out.
I kind of felt like Cardboard Fortress captured a whole like concept of making games with your bare hands, you know, cutting up paper, cardboard, drawing on stuff. And also that sort of, like, use your imagination as a child kind of scenario.
Also, that web address was not already taken.
That is a perfectly good reason to choose that name.
What address was that?
We're going about it.
So you already have a website. What is your website?
It's cardboardfortressgames.com.
And what can our listeners find on that website?
Just some words right now. Maybe a couple pictures.
Just us babbling about being at conventions.
You talked about going to Gen Con. That right there is worth going to the website for.
This box is actually there.
Yes, there's pictures of that cool box.
Logo.
I'm wearing it on my head.
We went to Gen Con, then we went to PAX East. We were in the IndieCade. I like PAX East, so I always say PAX East. We went to PAX Prime. We were in the Indie Mega Booth tabletop area at that, and then we went to Boston Fig. Anyone else something in between?
I went to Boston Game Loop before.
Oh, you went to Game Loop, right?
Yeah, I was in Boston, then Indianapolis, then Seattle, then back to Boston.
Dang.
Wow, we keep getting asked on Twitter, are you guys gonna be at GamesCon? It's like be right there.
So
we'll be at Tokyo Game Show. Fuck yeah, man!
Yeah,
be right. Yeah, we'll pay for our tickets. They're like 12 of us.
After PAX Australia, right. And I'll just head out to Tokyo.
That's right.
It's kind of nice. They have a game and a toy collection already. So that's. Cardboard, cardboard hats.
You know? Rob is their toy collector.
You know, you really should just sell these cardboard hats.
I know, everybody keeps telling us that.
Yeah, profit margin would be amazing.
Yeah, sales are up 8,000%.
And see, the beauty of it is you can ship it in itself.
I'm just shipping
no dog, your head's in the box.
Yeah, imagine how cheap that would be.
You have to carve the label off, but otherwise it's already.
I totally have hat head. I have square hat head.
You have
right
box
now.
Head.
Yes, box head.
Yeah.
We had so many people come to us at Boston Fig and say, "What are the hats about?" And I was like, "Oh, it's just our company." And she's like, "Oh, I thought it was a game."
Are the hats part of the game?
Are the hats a game?
That's your next game.
Yeah, you need to make a game incorporating those hats.
Yeah, we're
people love
like
headgear. There's your game name. People love headgear. That's my game company right there. Sold.
I wonder if we get some cross promotion with Max Gentleman.
That'd be awesome.
The game where you're your beefy dudes with hats flying through the air and trying to get
you're just
hat.
Trying to catch. Have you guys seen that game?
No,
I have not seen that game.
It's amazing.
It's called Max Gentleman.
Yeah, and you're just trying to catch hats and dodge like beers. I don't know. You're trying to catch hats. You're also trying to grab beers as they're tossed to you down the bar. All
right.
And
yes. So it's like Extreme Tapper.
That's Thursday.
I love Tapper.
Thursday.
Shocker.
All right, I'm going to search this game out now.
Yes.
All right.
This
awesome.
Is also game. It's for real. You actually throw hats.
I'm just kidding. Oh, no, I was good with that. I was getting interested.
Yeah, I had that vision in my head.
Hat fight.
I know, I was seeing it too.
All right.
So anybody graduation else, any tradition turned guests? To a game.
No.
Nope. Yeah, I just the crickets in the background were just amazing.
About how long is a playtime game for Resistor?
For me, about 2 seconds, man. I kicked his ass.
Parents,
right? Oh, sorry, Larry.
You had a lot.
You're
of
all
help.
Slower, folks.
For
how
the...
long is a play session of Resistance?
Yeah, it really depends. I would say it averages 20 minutes. Anthony and I can play a game in like 5 to 10, and some people like deliberate over every single move, so it'll take them like 30. But
I hate those people.
Just make a move.
Tell me the truth. Do you really just hate the crap out of people who like take way too long to make a move?
Sometimes I like start twitching and I want to tell them what to do. Or sometimes I just start helping them if they get over, like, because sometimes some people just get straight up overwhelmed. They're like, eh.
Lines are not everybody's specialty, right?
You know what though?
Some
I
of us
don't.
Need a
I think you should probably get a timer.
Oh yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, but like, well, just saying.
Oh my god, an egg timer?
Yeah.
I actually find it like when people take a long time, use that time to plot. And then you do your move like boom, and it freaks
yeah.
him
We're
out.
Back right yeah.
You made a mistake.
That's the best part about slow players, butt. Actually, because then they give you extra time to like, oh,
right.
This is coming from Larry. Three different eventualities here. Okay, that's the one I wanted.
Yes, all right.
Yes, more to the point.
Where we play Haunting House,
suck
you've occasionally taken a half hour to make a move.
Yes, you, Larry.
Larry.
I usually don't take a lot.
You usually
half
win, but
hour?
Still.
No.
Yeah, because it's an endurance thing.
We were playing Love Letter. You guys ever played Love Letter?
No.
No, I haven't heard of that.
I think I've heard of it, though.
It's so goddamn fast, and this guy that was playing with us was like, it got to the point where, like, we waited so long that I forgot whose turn it was.
God.
And I was just like, who the fuck is taking so fucking long?
In Love Letter, you literally draw two cards and pick one to play.
Oh,
there's 20 cards in the deck. It's the smallest game ever.
Cards and 20 cards in the deck. It's a really awesome game. You guys should look it up. It's really cheap.
We like cheap.
I have seen it. I think it comes in a bag.
I don't need to pitch for Fantasy Flight, though.
It's AEG.
AEG. Screw those guys. I don't need to help. No, we love you, AEG.
Yes, you should help us, yes.
And give us money.
All right.
All right, so
let's take us out.
Speaking of screwing everybody, You screwed away another freaking 45 minutes listening to guys, games, and beer.
But before
also,
they finish...
Go ahead. That's your job.
That is my... I have one job on this show. Let me do my damn job.
All right.
And again, your website is...
It's www.cardboardfortressgames.com.
And the game is going to be Kickstarter approximately when?
We're hoping January 2015.
All right. And we will definitely, when you do Kickstarter, we will definitely have links. We really want to see this game in production. We are all dying, chomping at the bit for this one, so...
Yeah, check us out on Facebook also. We have a site for Resistor Game, and we have a site for Cardboard Fortress. We post questions sometimes there and get some feedback.
And they've got some cool pictures on their Facebook website of the game, so...
Yeah, you can see our dumb faces.
See our faces.
I know I have already... Yay! I have already pasted on our Facebook as part of the B-Fig pictures of their game.
Yep.
Oh, were they pictures of you sobbing?
Yes, it was Larry
and we
crying.
We also have some pictures of Larry sobbing and my foot on
his
chest.
No, Larry was actually very cavalier afterwards. Rob was just insufferably smug.
Yeah.
Coming from that guy.
Dude, and the grass was green. Oh, God. Oh, I almost closed it up. But hey, don't forget, links will be, of course, on Facebook and our website. Thanks for watching another, or listening, I'm sorry, most of you listen, to another episode of Guys, Games, and Beer.
We again, thank you, Cardboard Fortress Games.
Thanks for coming in.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, you are.
Come visit us at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Win free games on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer.